back, everybody, to the Triad of the Force podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. These are Bad Batch Fridays. Please ignore our unoriginality on the title. We don't care. We are just very excited to be talking about the third and final season of the Bad Batch today, focusing on episode 4, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. A different approach. But aside from that, we are even more excited to have an awesome guest joining us for this conversation. Please let us welcome Silver Cipriang, otherwise known as Star Wars
Thrifting.
Welcome for the first time to the Triad. Hola.
Hola. Listen, y'all. I'm actually really proud and happy to be on this podcast.
Thank
because,
you.
Listen, Triad, like, listen, you guys... We represent our people, our gente, and to be another person of color on a stage, on a platform to talk about Star Wars is actually really honorable, and I'm really proud. So thank you all for having me.
Thank you for your kind words. No.
We're the ones
that are honored to have you. It's one of those things that's always interesting to, because I remember when I reached out to you so that you could be to join us to do this today. It was funny because then like we just realized that we had a lot of friends in common in the community.
Yeah.
It's one of those things we know all the same people, but somehow we haven't been able to connect. So it's it's long overdue.
Today we get to connect.
It's long overdue.
Yeah.
And
you're
finally here. And that's great.
Isn't that so funny how your mutual friends on the internet, first of all, when you're mutual friends in person, that's funny. But on the internet, there's like a whole vast of people and things and stuff like that. But with y'all, I actually really admire what y'all been doing and covering stuff. And again, like representing, you know, us, all of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that in a really positive way. And it's really cool. And I honestly so honored the fact that you guys even invite me on to even talk about Star Wars and stuff like that. It's really, really awesome. So
we
appreciate that. Yeah. So thank you. And thank you so much for saying my last name correctly. Cipriang.
With an accent and the A.
We don't
drop accents up in this.
Absolutely not.
Martinez,
we all good.
Let's go.
Before we get going, like I said, this is the first time that you're here on the channel. So, you know, before getting things going, let's get to know you a little bit. We know you're the infamous Star Wars Thrifting. We know, you know, quite famous on the social medias for all your thrifting exploits. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, like how you came about being known as Star Wars Thrifting and what does that mean to you? How do you connect to fandom through that, like your relationship of thrifting with Star Wars? Just tell us all those little good things of Star Wars thrifting and Silver.
You know, it's so funny because I have the most obvious name, Star Wars Thrifting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are very distinct words. But for me personally, being a fan, I was really fortunate enough to be I just turned 35, so I've been a fan. I've been a fan for a while, but I was 10 when Phantom Menace came out in theaters, and I was a kid being hype in the hype realm of Star Wars coming back to theaters, and that was really cool. And being a 90s kid, that was all everybody can talk about in the 90s at elementary school. That's all we talked about, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars. But coming from a big family, I have plenty of uncles, plenty of cousins, and I come from a big family. And my uncles, my theos, my dad, my papi, they're big Star Wars fans before I even understood what Star Wars meant.
Mm-hmm.
So Return of the Jedi was something that was always played at my house during Christmas.
Yeah.
We were all making tamales on Christmas Day. Star Wars was always playing. And it was a big deal for me. Even I had no idea what that meant and what that was all about. But yeah. Again, being a prequel kid, as we all like to deem ourselves, it was a big deal. And we were excited for that to happen. So being a Star Wars fan, a young kid, seeing Phantom Menace in theater for the first time with my dad was a big deal. And then seeing all, you know, Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith afterwards, it was just like, it just became such a big part of me.
Yeah.
So, when, Star Wars Thrifting, my account came about was, it was during the pandemic. I, like all of us, spent time at home.
Yeah.
Picked up my phone and started, posting pictures of my Star Wars finds I would find at the flea market and stuff. And, you know, for us, going to the flea markets as children was a big deal. My grandparents are from Mexico, and being in the Bay Area was a big deal. We are, it's a big Mexican community and Vietnamese community. So having a flea market, one of the biggest flea markets in Northern California, the San Jose Flea Market, was not only a place where you can go find find stuff, it was more like a community area. Mm-hmm. So we had every weekend, it was just like bandas was like, you know, they were, you know, selling food. And, you know, just having that whole like garage sale type, it was just more like my grandparents would take us on the weekends. It was because mm-hmm. it was a sense of community. It was a sense for us to just go and hang out. And mm-hmm. a big deal for my grandparents to go and feel like they were, you know, it was just like a part of their home, like, you know, just hanging with again, a sense of community. So going to the flea markets and stuff was like big, always a big deal for me. Mm-hmm. But as I grew older, it just always just been, was a thing to do on Saturdays, especially in the Bay Area. So for me, being a big Star Wars fan, thank you to my family members, I was able to see cool Star Wars stuff, and I just happened to collect it. Yeah. And then I did not expect for anybody to follow along, but it became like this like a snowball effect where people were just like, yeah, you know, like just like accepting it. And like, honestly, like it's been so great. I have met so many people and friends to, you know, because of this love for Star Wars. But at the same time, I was able to tie something that I've always grown up with and always find that sense of community again through my roots. So it's just been a really fun time.
Yeah, that's amazing. And like, that's one of the things that we always kind of talk about, that we love hearing like everyone's stories, because especially when a story is different, is one of the most joyful things. Because, you know, we had like the Janelle and I had kind of like the traditional Star Wars story of just like, well, we just watched the movies,
the originals, the 90s,
thing. And it's just like, which is fine, don't get me wrong, but it's always like fun to see like a different flavor, like, oh, I started with Star Wars Rebels, or thrifting with your family, all these things. It's just fun to see like how we can connect.
There's so many entryways into a love for Star Wars that that it really upsets me when people like try to gatekeep, because there's so many ways to get into this fandom and love it from many different angles, and to bring it into like your own community and your roots. And o sea, there's so many Latinos that love Star Wars also, and we were kind of like not represented for a really long time. We're starting to get a little bit more represented now, but there's a lot of other cultures that really love it as well. And it's because there's something very awesome about Star Wars, that it's like very inclusive in the way it's done, not in the way the fandom always interprets it. But
absolutely. You know what, us being like, you know, like you could say we're Latinos, right? And like, you know, we like, you know, family and connectivity is so incorporated
ingrained in our culture. Into us.
Where like, you know, we connect with each other because of like, you know, experiences and stuff like that. But like, for me, again, being a second generation, you know, Mexicana, Chicana, whatever you want to call it over here in the Bay Area, you know, like, I look at my tata. My grandpa turns 98 this Wow. This year. And that's a cool guy, right? I think about my tata, but like he has like, you know, like our family, my mom, his sons, and the fact that they're able to like just really appreciate the culture, the American culture, the pop culture of what this country has, you know, like provided for him and his family after he worked really hard, for them to really just like obsess over Star Wars, something as simple as Star Wars, and make it their whole entire personality. Where Meanie, being born into this generation, has able to really relate to them, is really, really cool and special. Like, you know, like I always think about like, okay, like, you know, my tata to my mom, my uncles, and then me. And then now seeing my niece, who's like slowly getting into some Star Wars, I'm just like, wow, like this is like, it's insane how we can really just like, you know, bond over things like that. And it's really important. And you know what? Like Star Wars, like, listen, Star Wars is not, of course, like we have our fun space adventures, but it really like just really tackles like incredible, like real life stuff that we can all like really relate to. And to see, you know, just like a generational, you know, experience that all families have is really, really cool. So, really awesome.
And it's been one of those things that has been really rewarding. Like, because like you said, you started doing this during COVID. We also started doing the podcasting during COVID. So it's been such a great thing to see all the fruits that have been reaped from it. Right. Not just from the satisfaction, like talking about the things that we love, but also connecting with community, connecting with other content creators such as yourself, and, you know, creating like our own communities from that has been a really cool thing. And all the really cool things that the opportunities that we didn't expect that could be afforded to us that all of a sudden we got. Because if I'm not mistaken, you were able to go to Lucasfilm and watch the screening of Bad Batch.
Or what was that? I you know what, I don't take lightly the experiences that I'm given. And again, I don't like to I'm gonna tell this to my tata, who who's come to this country and then has given experiences, and then like, you know I see the, you know, everything, the fruit that is bared afterwards, right? And I don't take that lightly at all. But yeah, I started during COVID, and it's so silly to me when I think about that. I started my Instagram, going to the flea markets, posting a picture of a Jar Jar Binks, and being like, hey guys, look what I found, to then having really fun experiences of like getting to go to various premieres. I'm also a the last year I have been fortunate enough to be part of the Rancho Obi-Wan team. Rancho Obi-Wan is an amazing museum here in the Bay Area, but I've been fortunate enough to have that experience to do that and be part of that. But also, yeah, I got to do you know, I've been invited to various screenings and premieres. But yeah, I recently went to the Bad Batch premiere or screening here in San Francisco. I live in the Bay Area. I live in San Jose, California, one of the biggest cities in the Bay Area, in Northern California. But I live about 40 minutes south of San Francisco. So I was invited to go to, which I've been to before, but I was invited to go to the Bad Batch screening premiere thing that they had for season 3. And again, I don't, sometimes I'm just, people ask me like, I don't know how, I don't know why it happened in a way.
Luck.
It's luck. It's a thing. It's a series of luck. It's a series of like, I don't know how, but, it was a really cool experience. And I think about my tata, because it's just like, that's so crazy how you just show up and then experiences happen, and
good karma.
Good. Yeah. It's just, I think karma. It's just like hand of luck. So I was fortunate to do the thing and do that at Lucasfilm for the Bad Batch season 3 premiere, which I'm sure we'll be talking about.
we will. I think this is we're gonna talk about Bad Batch. but it's really cool for sure to be able to like do those things. And when you were there, did you guys usually saw the first three episodes, or yeah, did you see some more?
No. Well, you know, it's so funny. We saw the first three episodes, and you know, mm-hmm. for me, I got, you know, they invited us to Lucasfilm in San Francisco, and I've been really fortunate enough to be. I actually did a tour at Lucasfilm. Mm-hmm. Pete Vilmer, who is a legend, invited me. I think in December, I went and did the actual tour at the Lucasfilm headquarters. So I've been cool. there before. But also earlier this year, I did a tour at Skywalker Ranch, which is also in the area. So I did a tour there, and it was a Skywalker Sound tour where I spent most of the day there with a friend, Christina Morris, who works at Skywalker Sound. And showed me into the tour and stuff like that. So I did that. But I was invited. So needless to say, I did the, when I got invited to the Bad Batch premiere, it was very like, just like mind boggling, like, mm-hmm. and like, you know, just really just like centered you in a way where you're just like, wow, like I'm seeing a new Star Wars.
Yeah.
Being shown with fellow fans, but there's so much work and love behind the scenes mm-hmm. to get mm-hmm. us to this point. So I've been really fortunate enough to see those kind of things that happen and reminded why Star Wars still works, still relevant, and why it still touches people. Mm-hmm. For me, I was invited to the Bad Batch season 3. It was a fan screening, so they showed us the first three episodes, which is really awesome. It was on Tuesday night before the actual premiere, okay. and they gave me a plus one, so I took my little sister. It was cool. It was really cool. So on the way up there, I was just like trying to give the rundown of the background, she was just there. She was like, "I'm just gonna go have a good time. I don't care." And then we're gonna we're going to have a good time. And I was trying to like fill her in. But for me, like,
no, this is serious.
Yeah, I know. No.
Let me explain.
Okay. This isn't cartoons. Okay.
This is real. Right. So it was really fun to experience that with my sister because, we sat down in the Lucasfilm Theater, which is crazy enough to even say, mm-hmm. but my sister, not knowing much about the Bad Batch, you know, the whole story, seeing the first three episodes, she was so just like completely locked in. And then she was like completely stressed out with me. She was like, "Oh my gosh, like what is going on?" And like, you know, stuff like that, which was really fun. And I'm just reminded that, you know what, Star Wars, it does not matter when you're a fan, when you come in. It can work for anybody. And for the fact that my sister was able to walk out of that theater and just be like, "Wow, I am so invested." I have text messages on my Twitter mm-hmm. of her. I did screenshots of her being so invested that she actually blew through the first two seasons of Bad Batch. And she's now like
all in.
All in. And she's now caught up with all of us.
So that means that we're going to have to talk to her about it.
You know what? Please invite her. She would love that. Yeah, she's actually 100% more entertaining and charming than I am. But she was just so like, "Oh my gosh, like this is amazing." And like, she's awesome. Great. So I think it's really special. Again, seeing it with a bunch of fans, but seeing it with somebody who's like a newcomer and just like, wow, it still resonates. I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Awesome. I mean, it's a beautiful experience. I mean, we've been lucky to share similar things like that. So we absolutely understand. It's one of those things where you have to the next day just pinch yourself and be like, "Oh, that happened." It's something that's definitely not something to take for granted and to be thankful for every day, right? So those were like the first three episodes, which, needless to say, I think kind of blew everyone away, and I think started the season on the right foot, for lack of a better term. Now we're going back into just one episode a week, which is tragic, I know, but now fourth episode, which, you know, the aftermath of Shadows of Tantus, we kind of catch up with some of the members of the batch, which were not the members that I was expecting we were going to see this week in more ways than one, and we'll discuss that. But it was definitely a thrilling episode with a cliffhanger ending that we'll definitely discuss once we get to that. But so let's start just talking about reviewing, reacting, however you want to call it. And Nani, this is the first time that we watch an episode and then react/review
on it in the same day
immediately. So, you know, you probably saw it, what, maybe like an hour or two ago. What was
that's the best reaction, you
know?
Fresh off the boat.
Did it pass the test? Was it a good episode? Is it a good follow-up?
I thought it was great.
First three episodes. Yep.
I thought it was a great follow-up. It, again, what you were saying, it wasn't what I was expecting was going to happen with the characters. It wasn't, I didn't really think we were going to get a buddy-buddy Omega and Crosshair episode, which I'm really happy that we got up, by the way. And Silver, just in case you don't know, my husband, we call him El Husbando here.
Hey.
So because we were going to be recording tonight and we're not sure what time he gets back from work, I was like, oh, should I just like watch it without you? He's like, well, kind of sad. Like, yeah, you can watch it without me. Is it three episodes again? It's like, no, it's just one. Oh, it's just 20 minutes or something. Okay, so just wait for me because I want to watch it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. And so Husbando loved it as well. He was just like, oh my God, like what is happening this season? I'm all in, like you were saying. I mean, they've really brought this show so much more than I was expecting when it started with season one up to this point. Like, I really, really started falling in love with it with season two with all the character development. And now with season three, it's been blowing my mind. And obviously we harp about the animation all the time, but this time especially, like, it feels like a huge world. Like, it feels like you're really into it. And I don't know. I'm really invested. And we're obviously going to talk about how it ended, but I was like crying by the end of the episode. So, you know, when animation makes me cry, it's like already solid. You're good. You're amazing.
Yeah.
Move on.
Silver, what about you? Like, how did the episode make you feel? Did you feel like it was a worthy follow-up to the three-episode premiere?
Yeah, you know, I just like what the season, well, the first three episodes have shown us, I just feel stressed out. I like being stressed out in Star Wars. I like not knowing what's going to happen. But I agree. Like, you know, like, I'm glad that we hit it off with Omega and Crosshair. Because I don't think, especially with just it being one episode, I don't think I would, as much as I love a Hunter and Wrecker, I don't think I would have been able to, I would have been really like stressed out and be like, all
right.
You know,
what's going on with them?
Yeah, what's going on with them? Because that's where really, that's where the drama is, right? So yeah. I'm so glad that it ended up with a continuation, literally after like seconds, I feel like what happened with Crosshair and Omega. So it was, it feels really weighted. It feels really like heavy. Yeah. And as expected, it's the last season of the show. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I feel like they're really popping off with the look of it, the feel of it, the sound of it. It seems heavy. And it seems, you know, like every moment is not wasted. I feel like every moment counts. Yep. Every frame is important, and I get a sense of that, and I definitely felt that way in this episode in particular. I think we really needed a breather, but also like a really good development between Omega and Crosshair. The last two seasons we got a lot of Omega moments with the rest of the batch, but we need a Omega and Crosshair episode-centric, and I think they really delivered with that. And it gave us the what makes a bad Bad Batch great is a good adventure episode, and it gave that with both of them, and they were able to really play off each other, and it was really good. Again, really weighted and heavy, and that's just some of the best Star Wars.
And like you were saying, it's especially about like that relationship with her and Crosshair, because we start to establish this in the first three episodes, but it's across the bars. So it's kind of just Omega just like trying to like push him to realize that all hope is not lost. And now to have them like actively try to like decide how they're going to work together. And I love how it's always like her being all hopeful and like, we have to do it a better way. And we have to try these alternatives. And him always like, fine, just
like, do it your way.
Fine, it's okay. But like you said, there was so much tension throughout this entire episode. Like, because at this point, we don't know what's really going to happen. We all know they're not afraid about killing off important characters. So the entire time, you're just like, what's going to happen? Are they going to get recaptured? Is this going to go all wrong? So I think it was really, really cool. And especially to see her, they're giving her more and more independence with the episodes. And especially this time around with the, just her giving the signs like, I got this. I got the gambling. I'm good. I'm awesome. Mm-hmm. Just leave me alone. And him like trusting her to do it, I thought was just precious. So
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think Bad Batch, I mean, I think all the Star Wars series, and especially the animated ones, have shown that they can do, and it's the willingness to like learn from some of the shortcomings that previous seasons might have had. And I think that personally for me, like one of the issues, and I use issues in a very loose way, with seasons one and two, where that, you know, sometimes you had like the grouping of episodes that were very plot forward. For, you know, for whatever that means. And then you kind of have your adventure of the week kind of episode that's not necessarily disconnected from the main, you know, plot, seasonal plot or whatever you want to call that. And that sometimes feels like the show, I mean, the season, for me personally, kind of stops a little bit. It slows down and not a flow that I personally like in my storytelling. And I feel that season three has shown that it's kind of corrected, and I don't like using that word, but it doesn't need to correct, you know, it's whatever the creators want to do. But in this one, because this episode was very much, that's just like, it's the adventure of the week episode, but it's still very much about moving the
story forward too.
The A plot forward in a very meaningful way. And like, I personally thought that this was going to be like episode two, where it was going to be a Hunter and a Wrecker focused episode. And then, you know, we would have to wait for episode five to see what's happening with Omega and Crosshair. And they would just keep alternating episodes that way until they finally converge. And I was very happy to know that that wasn't the case, because no disrespect to my homeboy Hunter, but, you know, I've always felt that Hunter.
We've had a lot of you, Hunter.
And Hunter, again, no disrespect to the Hunter lovers out there. But for me, Hunter's just a poor man's Rex. So I'm just like, okay, I've seen that character a million times, so not as compelling to me as Crosshair and Omega are, because Omega and Crosshair are the ones that have been having the most character development through seasons one, two, and three. So it's, I feel like it's, their stories are much more interesting, personally for me. And this episode kind of just cemented that, because now we get to see them interact in completely different environments. And I think it's funny to have seen them do this episode, because I feel it's very on point with some of the storytelling tropes that we've seen for the last couple of years, of the reluctant father with the adopted daughter type of trope that we've seen. Fine, obviously in Mandalorian with Grogu and Din Djarin and The Last of Us. I mean, Pedro Pascal, that's his whole career at this point, just accepting children and raising them as his own. So in a way, I kind of really, really like that about this episode, but not just about Crosshair taking the responsibility of caring for Omega. It's quite the opposite. It's them kind of caring for each other and learning to be a team with each other, as opposed to relying on, you know, Crosshair's expertise or Omega's expertise. It's like, no, realizing that they can't just rely independently on 100% one thing, 100% of the other. So you have to meet at the middle. And it reminded me a lot of like Anakin Padme in Attack of the Clones, where, you know, Anakin's hot-headed and he just wants to dive into battle, and Padme's about diplomacy. But then during the Battle of Geonosis, Padme's just like, well, you know, you have to have aggressive negotiations too sometimes. You can't just have full diplomacy. And I think that was the cool thing about Omega learning that sometimes you kind of have to, you know, be a little more active or aggressive, and Crosshair learning that sometimes you can kind of play it cool to get the desired results. And now you mentioned this, I think one of the best parts of the episode, at least for me, and I want to see your guys' opinion, is that bar scene when Omega is playing poker with the corrupt Imperial officer, which for me, I don't know about you guys, but when I was watching that scene, it just reminded me of Inglourious Basterds. The scene when, you know, Michael Fassbender's talking in German to the Nazi officer, and it's just like, oh, am I going to get made and all that stuff? And then it just ends out in a shootout. Spoiler alerts for anyone who hasn't seen Inglourious Basterds.
At this point, hasn't watched Inglourious Basterds.
Like 10 years,
right. But I was getting like those vibes, so, you know, the tension was definitely increasing throughout that scene. So, Silver, I'll start with you. Like, how did that scene work for you? And, like, would you change anything about that scene?
You know, I wouldn't change anything about that scene. And I will tell you why. It's because the last two seasons, we were, you know, Omega has been, you know, somebody who we've seen almost from Omega's point of view. And I when I think about Omega, I think about my niece. My niece is a young girl who's like a sponge, who absorbs a lot of things and sees stuff, and almost just like, you know, it's like a kid, you know, you see them like grow up, and they, you know, they see stuff, and you see them like kind of like, you know, portray that. But that bar scene is actually, for me as a fan, seeing the last two seasons was really satisfying for me. And because of the experiences, either with Sid at the bar or with like all the adventures that she's gone through, where maybe people will say they're called filler. But it's just things that she's really learned in her adventure. And this is a person, a kid who's been at Kamino her entire life, who's never left this planet. And then, like, you know, was really thrusted into, you know, doing all these things with the rest of the Bad Batch, and you know, experiencing other things and realizing stuff. So for Omega to have that scene at the bar with Crosshair and Batcher as her side, really just like, you know, saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to use this different approach, and let's not shoot out everybody at the bar, but I'm going to try and, you know, earn these credits at a game of, I don't know, I'm going to call it Uno. I've never seen this game before in my life, but let's try to earn these credits by a game, which, you know, maybe Sid has, you know, taught her, and the fact that she's able to, you know, she's always sees the good in things. And like, let's not shoot things out. Let's not, call it aggressive negotiations. Let's try and actually earn these credits. I thought it was really rewarding for me as a viewer to be like, well, that makes sense, because she's had so many experiences with other with people, or just even like working with Sid, who was, you know it's Sid, but
there's a lot of sus.
Yeah, a little sus in there, but you know, she's just like, hey, like, let me try and win these credits. So I thought it was really rewarding and really fun.
And speaking of Sid, I think that was the whole point of the scene, right? So to kind of connect back to how Omega takes everything that she has learned, even from like characters that have betrayed her or whatever, but like to turn that into a strength of hers. So Nani, how did you feel during that scene?
Yeah, I thought it was great, because, I mean, not everything has to be a fist fight or a shootout or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it just shows cunning and intelligence on her part, and just trying to do something that if they would have been able to completely pull it off, it would have called less attention to them in the long run. I mean, it just so happens that the dude wasn't a complete idiot and figured out, you know, from the crash and everything that they were suspicious people. But it's also really good for Crosshair to see that as well, because it's like, okay, I don't always have to be a soldier about the way that I go about things, because I think the Bad Batch was really hit by the fact that they, you know, they stopped being soldiers and they've been trying to find their way into a different path. And especially for Crosshair, that we were all very surprised that it wasn't the chip and he actually decided to be on the side of the Imperials. And now that we're starting to get on this like redemption arc, to see that it's not just about switching sides, it's about seeing things in a different way. And then maybe sometimes we have to end up in a shootout because that's what ends up happening at the end, but maybe we should try different options first, and if those don't work, then, you know,
since you gotta punch a fascist in the face.
We all love to do that. That's what's so cool about the episode being called A Different Approach, right? So you have Omega, you know, doing her thing, but there's always a different approach for her. And at the end of the episode, she even tells Crosshair, all right, do your thing.
It's fine.
And then, yeah, so, and also, like, and then on the other side is, like, Crosshair just, like, ugh, what is this kid getting me into? Like, you know, like, it's a different approach for Crosshair. To be like, all right, well, let me take a step back. Let's not shoot out the place. Let's see what you have to bring to the table. So that's what's really cool about this episode being sent, that's the title of the episode.
And it's like both sides trying to compromise and learn from each other as well.
Absolutely.
As cool as Omega's let's be peace, you know, kind of approach, it doesn't always work. Sometimes you do have to get into the fight. And so it's kind of like them both trying to say, this extreme is not okay. This extreme is not okay. Let's bring it together.
We have to be in the middle.
I loved it. And it's so early in the season, so I'm so much looking forward to everything that's going to happen, because I didn't really think that we were going to be this far ahead in what I was expecting of the story already. So I'm like really excited for what's coming.
100%.
And we had like that whole scene when, you know, everyone starts like blasting at everything. It's very like, I don't know, I got a lot of Jurassic Park vibes, like you said at the beginning, Nani, especially like at the end when the Imperial officer, I forgot his name, I'm not good with names, but the new Imperial corrupt officer just gets the gates just open and the Wrath car or whatever it is just grabs him, just like pulls him out. He's like, oh crap, that's like the opening of Jurassic Park when the Velociraptor just eats the one dude.
Well, it really looked like it from the beginning, like with the little cage cells that they have in it, it kind of looked like it was like the whole vibe. We're in Isla Nublar, was it?
Yeah.
So it and they like poking the animals with the sticks and the whole thing. And I was like, yeah, this is Jurassic Park in space.
You don't mess with them.
You're gonna.
I got a Jumanji.
When they escape
and then they feel like the
and they're all like going. I'm like, oh yeah, this is cool.
Jumanji.
Yeah, for sure.
The stampede, and it looked awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, it looked great. Yeah.
It's one of those things that I always... It's one of those things that I always love to think about with Bad Batch is to think about where the animation is, like, right now, today, and then just look back at season... Not even season one. Let's look at the movie. And it's just like...
The Clone Wars.
Crap. Clone Wars movie. And be like, wow, we have...
We have come a long way.
A long way. From just like stiff little wooden puppet animations with you know, matte paintings in the background to fully immersive environments that are just paintings. Because that's one of the things that I feel every season of the Bad Batch achieves is making every frame just feel like obviously intentional in terms of like the framing for like the story purposes, but also just beautiful. It's just, you know, it's good.
You can
easily make any frame from any episode
feast
of Bad Batch
for the eyes.
A computer background.
we've come a long way, right?
Silver, like the soundtrack has been so good, but I think it's been especially good this season, and they do such a good job of melding like old, like more nostalgic sounding Star Wars with like this new element, and and how it brings emotion to every scene. It's they've rocked it out of the park, really. It's the season is really blowing my mind.
So good. And I, you know, it's with it being the last season of the series, you can, I think and relate to it being the final arc of Clone Wars season 7, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm, where you just like feel like, wow, they are knocking it out of the park.
Yes.
Visually, just with the sounds, the sound effects, but also like the score, right? The score.
Yeah, the score is. Yeah.
It's just like really popping off. Yeah. And I have to give it to the Kyners who at the final season of this episode, when Crosshair and Omega meet up with Hunter and Wrecker.
The soundtrack there.
It's really good. It's really heavy. And you feel that weight. Yeah. And again, visually, just it's very just like heavy. And we feel that as you know, as the audience, just like, wow, this is just like really good stuff. And I felt that since the beginning of the season. I was like, this is just really just like amazing,
like visually intense in the heart,
intense stuff. And I'm gonna just say that it just reminds me of, remember we were all watching the last season of the Clone Wars, where that last arc, you're just like, wow, this is special, this is heavy. And I don't think we're only 4 episodes in, but I just don't
think, and it's already way. So heavy. And so I think that's a good transition to talk about that last scene.
Yep.
Did you think, Silver, that we were gonna get them to reunite in this episode?
Absolutely not. I did not think that. And as a Star Wars fan, I love spectating. I love speculating, right?
Mm-hmm.
We love to speculate.
We try to do
responsible speculation. Let's be responsible in our speculating. I'm not going to be upset because if things don't go my way.
Yeah.
However,
because we get things wrong all the time.
Of course. Yeah. However, I like to, as a viewer, as a fan,
mm-hmm.
I like to not know where we're going to go from here. Because for me, I did not expect that Omega and Crosshair were going to escape. I thought it was going to be maybe midway through the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but at this point, the fact that last night's episode, we already reunited with Wrecker and Hunter.
Yeah.
It's just so like, wow, like I did not expect that. Has me in a position where I'm just like, I don't know what to expect anymore.
Yeah.
Because it just like blew me out. I was wrong. Again, you know, responsibly, that's great. That's awesome. I like being in that position where I'm just like, wow, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. And as a viewer, as a fan, I like being in that position because it's just like, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen. So, did not expect that reunion to happen so soon.
Yeah. And especially that whole episode that from the beginning, Crosshair's kind of just focused on escaping and surviving. And Omega's like, we have to get the signal out. I thought red flags, everything's going to go wrong. There's no way they're going to meet anytime soon. Something's going to go terrible. And then that scene at the end, when I saw the Marauder for a second, I thought, the Marauder got taken over. It's not actually going to be there in them. It's going to be a trap. Mm-hmm. And then when you first see Wrecker, I was like, oh my God, they're doing it. They're doing it already.
So good.
It was so good. And I mean, just Omega's face first with just Wrecker and just like the love there. And then as soon as Hunter comes out and it's like this extra level of emotion. And like you were saying, the score accompanying that whole scene. And I love how it's just sometimes they fade like a little bit backwards and you see both ships and just like the space between them and the play with light and shadow in between both ships is just perfect. So amazing.
Visually.
And
then,
what did you think when they're like, oh, I can't believe you did this. I had some help. And we know that it's Crosshair coming down. Like, what did you think of like everybody's kind of like, everybody's demeanor changed immediately as they see Crosshair coming down.
Well, for me, I expected that from Hunter and Wrecker, but I will
Omega
say
Omega kind of steps back, right?
Yeah.
Too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, and I mentioned this before, but the scene prior to that when Omega, when they escape and Omega's like, you know, I sent, you know, I'm going to meet up. We're going to meet up, Hunter and Wrecker. There's this really interesting cutaway with Batcher. And I'm me being a dog mom, I know what it's like for animals to really sense the way we feel. Yeah. But when Wrecker tells Omega they may not be out there, there's a really interesting cutaway with Batcher, who's just kind of like caving in, just like, you know, like, he seems anxious. And as a dog mom, I know our pets, our animals, they're interesting creatures where they can kind of sense how we're feeling. And I really feel like that was a really great detail of Batcher sensing Crosshair's feelings about meeting them up. Whether it was like anxiousness, whether it was like, you know, sadness, whether I don't
fear, know. Or maybe still fear, animosity.
Shame. It really, they really had a really interesting cutaway with Batcher. And I just thought, wow, that's a really cool detail. To really show that Batcher was sensing whatever maybe Crosshair was feeling.
Yeah.
So, again, that final scene, again, has a lot of weight. Wrecker and Hunter are, of course, there's no trust. They don't trust him.
Yeah.
At all. It's been time, but, you know, there's a lot has happened in between that time. You know, they lost Tet. There's just so much going on there. You know, they had to deal with Omega being gone and the fact that they have, Crosshair was one of them, but there's so much stuff that happened in between where they can't trust
so much anymore. Betrayal and
so much just like uncertainty where they just like don't trust them. And I just absolutely love the fact that, you know, we had that entire scene of just like, again, the music just popped off during that scene. And the way that they just ended the episode with that.
Was just like right there. Incredible. Nobody even saying a word, just like cuts
incredible.
To black.
So done. It was, that's just really just topped off the episode for me.
Yeah. What did you think, Goose, about that final scene?
It was interesting because, not that I had mixed emotions, it's that I felt that the scene when they're flying out to meet them, I feel like the tension was a little odd because, Crosshair's bringing up, you don't know if they're even alive and whatnot.
Yeah.
I feel like that was odd framing for us as viewers because we already had, like, two episodes ago, we had, like, a full sequence with Hunter and Wrecker, and we know that they're fine. It's never implied that anything's happened. So as a viewer, I'm just like, this is kind of a weird framing for us because if that episode hadn't happened, if we had just had 1, 3, and 4 and no 2, then I'm just like, oh, crap, we don't know because we haven't seen them, so... What is going on with them? But the fact that we kind of just recently saw them, it's like, they didn't create the tension in me, right? That maybe the scene wanted to make, and maybe I'm just misreading what the intention of that scene was in terms of us as a viewer. But I mean,
maybe it goes to Crosshair's mentality of maybe he just wants them to be dead so he doesn't have to face them kind of situation. Yeah,
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah. But, but I agree with that. Everyone has said it. We don't need to keep gilding the lily on that one. But because the scene was framed very well. And one of the things that I thought was really cool, though, was that to me, that scene reminded me a lot of Revenge of the Sith when, Padme lands in Mustafar and then she comes up and she's hugging Anakin. They're having like a sweet moment and it's happy, quote unquote, and then all of a sudden it's kind of the same framing, right? All of a sudden, like, that happiness is cut with someone coming down a ramp, and one is Obi-Wan and one is Crosshair, and it's kind of very similar, intentional or not. I thought it was kind of fun. Well, not fun, because that's not a fun scene, I guess, but interesting to just see the parallels there, which maybe that Instagram account Star Wars Parallels will maybe do that one. And if you do, just hit us an at for the idea. even though I'm absolutely sure that every single Star Wars fan thought about that. So probably not unique. And I thought it was ballsy, too, to just be like, hey, you know, cut to black and to be continued.
Yep. So leave it right in. There.
And also the fact what everyone has been mentioning, too, is just how, breakneck speed the season is going at from just like, breaking out of Tantus as fast as they did and then reuniting the batch as fast as they have, it's just like, oh, crap, like, this season's not messing around. Because if by episode 4, we're already here, that means that like the things that are coming for, you know, the rest of the season, especially the latter half of the season, is going to be insane. Because
it leaves so much more room for storytelling. Like, once we get through what we were expecting to take us, like, till about, what, halfway through the season, I think we were thinking about these events. So now it's just like, oh, we're only 4 episodes in. Now we get all this other extra stuff. And then they can really dedicate time to it. And they're doing such a great job of just focusing on these individual characters and letting them grow that I think this is just, the season's going to be really intense.
Yeah.
But very rewarding to watch, I think. So.
Yeah. And I mean, and now we have to speculate responsibly, right? Because we have so many loose threads now that are going to be followed up with Hemlock and Nalase and what's going to happen with her and what how he's going to try to hunt down the Batch. And obviously the contentious reunion between Crosshair, Wrecker, and Hunter. So, Silver, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen next episode? What's that dynamic between the Batch gonna be like, do you think?
Yeah, so like I said earlier about, you know, Crosshair maybe not really too ready to reconcile with Hunter and Wrecker. It's gonna be really interesting for us as viewers to really see that because, you know, we've all been through that, right? We've all been through, sometimes we're presented with moments and sometimes with, situations that we're not ready to deal with, and I really feel like Crosshair is in that moment where he's probably not ready to face the music, right, as we should say, but I don't think Crosshair is ready for that. I don't think Hunter and Wrecker are ready for that, and Omega being the glue that holds them all together is going to be a really interesting story as far as like storytelling in a position, but I don't think that I don't think Crosshair is ready for that. It's going to be really interesting to see what Crosshair has to deal with when it comes to maybe you know, him finding out that Tech is not there. There's nothing more devastating in life ever as to having to try and reconcile with somebody when they're no longer there to, you know,
and you can't make amends with that person anymore. You
can't make amends for that. And I think that's the most heartbreaking thing that anyone can ever have to go through. And I think for Crosshair having to deal with that, I think for Hunter and Wrecker having to deal with Crosshair, like, there's no trust. Maybe they're just like, you were my brother at one point, but I don't trust you at all. So it's going to be really interesting. And that's going to leave a lot of, like, you know, really, you know, great storytelling since what they've been doing so far. That's going to be really interesting to see. I don't know how the dynamic's going to be. That's why I feel I'm going to speculate responsibly, everyone. You know, with the Empire having to mark Omega, right? And try and look for Omega. Maybe Omega gets taken again. I don't know. Who knows? All I know is that it's been really promoted that there's one final mission. I don't know what that final mission is. That final mission may be we have to go back to Mount Tantus, like Omega had mentioned in this episode.
Because they retake Omega.
Maybe they rotate Omega. Maybe, and for sure, they definitely want to go back to go rescue and free the rest of the
prisoners.
Yes. They may have to do that. There's going to be, obviously, like, that is going to be the final mission. That's going to be, like, what we have to go and deal with. What, for me, again, there's, like, that big picture of, like, what is the mission is, but to have both ends of the spectrum of Crosshair dealing with Hunter and Wrecker, that's going to be really interesting and see, because, like, they're going to have to, like, really, like, you know, deal with it in a way. So again, I'm just really interested to see how that plays out. Maybe they're forced in a situation where they have to really just, like, be like, you know what, we're gonna have to deal with it because we have to go. There's obviously a bigger purpose, a bigger mission that we have to just, like, handle it, and then we'll go from there. So that's gonna be really interesting.
I think I agree with a lot of that. Nani, what do you think? What's your speculation here?
I mean, we also have to add in the fact that we're getting a bunch of other characters. Like, we know Echo is coming back for sure, so how does that do with the dynamic? Because Echo wasn't originally a part of the batch, but he was for a long time, and he was there when the fallout and everything happened. We for sure know that Asajj Ventress is coming in, and how that's going to play out. We have no idea
Huge
yet.
One.
Fennec Shand, Cad Bane, we got everyone coming back.
Huge
so
one.
We have all these people that are coming in that are, every single one of them are going to have something to do with the dynamics of how the Bad Batch works, which is, it's so great because it really is about, they're a family unit and how, you know, all these external and internal relationships happen is, to me, incredibly interesting. And then we also have what's happening with Crosshair. We've seen that he has the shaky hands.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a physical thing? Is it an emotional thing? We don't really know yet. And like, so much of his identity is tied. Like, that's his name, Crosshair, the fact that he's a sharpshooter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if that is affected by the fact that he can't really control a gun anymore, how much is that going to change his identity?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to them exploring that more. And as I've said every single time, I can't wait for Omega and Boba to meet. I'm calling it, that's gonna happen.
It has to happen. I mean, it has to. It's. I wouldn't say that they're teasing it, but the fact that, you know, the two
Daniel
unaltered,
Logan's back as a
two,
voice actor.
Exactly, the two unaltered clones, one's Alpha, one's. This is, come on, just give
Alpha and Omega.
Give the people what they want.
Yeah, we all want to see it.
But yeah, I agree. I think one of the interesting things is definitely gonna be how that relationship is repaired, and I'm going to probably be wrong, as I always am. But I think the next episode is probably just going to be, they're going to go on a mission, either like by accident or because they got hired to do something. And the mission is going to be figuring out again how to work together. Or maybe they're separated. And Hunter is with Crosshair at one point. They have to, mend those fences.
Make it work.
Have the heart-to-heart and all those things. And by the end of the episode, maybe the mission's not over, because then you have the next one. You have to have it with Wrecker and Crosshair. And then, at the end of that episode, then all of them come together and, finish the mission. And they're the Bad Batch again. What I wonder, though, is if that reconciliation between them, what will it mean for them as a team? Does it mean that their understanding with each other means that they can also understand that, okay, Crosshair has to go his own path?
Yeah.
Because, you know, not because they don't want him back, but because he feels that he just isn't part of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Their relationship is healed, but he's just not part of the team, just like Echo decided on season 2. Or if he actually does come back and rejoin the team fully, or just dies. Who knows? I mean, I think Star Wars has taught us anything, is that redemption for fallen characters is usually, if you turn back to the light, we have to kill you. And it's
100%.
And it's kind of disappointing. It's just like, show us what redemption means. Show us how you live with that trauma and that burden, and how you atone for it through life instead of just death. And I think that would be like a really good thing. But I agree with what you were saying, Silver, about having to rescue all the other clones that are in Tantus, because, one, it's set up by Omega in today's episode, but then also it's the fact that it just makes sense as catharsis for the Bad Batch to bookend the Clone Wars with just all
and
the
save
clones
the rest
being
of the clones
rescued
and, yeah.
and kind of having their exodus and going to the promised land, and Omega's like their Moses. You know, and they just go, and it's just they're happy somewhere far away from the reaches of the Empire.
Hopefully.
Please not in Pabu, because we know Pabu is going to, shit's going to go down there. So let's find a place where people can please be happy, because that place rarely exists, because I don't know if anyone's played Jedi Survivor, but, you know, there's supposed to be the one Jedi Paradise, and then it's also ruined. So.
Yeah.
Let's just find a place for the clones to be happy. That's what I want.
Yeah, you know what? And that's what's so captivating about this entire show, right? It's the transitional period. And we've seen that with the Empire and how that looks. But the the crappy end of the stick is the clones, right? Mm-hmm. It's a generation that's lost. They're a bunch of veterans who are just forgotten.
Right, right.
And, you know, we don't get to see, and we get this devastating scene in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show when there's a clone just like laying on the ground, just like, you know, just like it's really sad and it's relatable because unfortunately that's what a lot of veterans have to deal with. Like, you know, they sacrifice so much just to be forgotten and disregarded. And it's just weird for a show like The Bad Batch to just in 3 seasons just cover a lot of that, and just for us to see like the little bit of a backstory of like the transitional part of the Empire, which is really fascinating to see, just how they phase clones out, right? You know, clones were such a big deal in my childhood because, you know, I was a prequel kid and the clones were it. And then like, how do they get to the stormtroopers and like, what's that all about? But to see that transitional piece is really, really interesting and fascinating to see. Just leads to a lot of questions still. And I'm just so excited to see how that's going to wrap up, obviously, in that aspect. You know, of course, you have a, you know, rest of the season to go and see how that goes. But if I want to speculate responsibly.
Yes, please do.
I would like to think that Omega does make it at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I would like to think that Crosshair makes it of the season. I don't feel like Hunter and Wrecker will, as I hate saying that.
Interesting.
Just because in a way where I think Crosshair, and they show that with Batcher, the dog, in the season, who's just like the dog that just like, you know, really is aggressive, who's angry, you know, who Omega just tries to give a chance. What I see what happens in this season, I would like to think that Omega and Crosshair make it out, who are, you know, become that family with each other and with Batcher, hopefully. And, you know, hopefully they spend the rest of their, just what Rex and Echo does. And they're just kind of trying like save clones. But unfortunately, I feel like maybe Wrecker and Hunter.
Hunter don't make it.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I hate.
That's dark.
I hate speculating, but I'm going to do it responsibly. Yeah. But I just feel like maybe if anyone's going to make it out, I want to say it's going to be Crosshair because that's
he deserves it.
After the redemption. Yeah.
After the redemption. I want to see the redemption. I want to see the redemption follow through. And yes, like being a Star Wars fan, we, you know, redemption happens.
We need somebody to be redeemed and actually bear the fruit of being redeemed.
Yes. And then, you know, like go on and like, you know, maybe it has like a greater purpose and like, you know,
be rewarded for, you know, for finding the light.
Yeah. So I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts and feelings, obviously. We're only on episode 4, so that's insane.
I know. But like you said, it's been so deep already.
Sorry if I laid it all,
feelings. No, last season we knew at least one of them were going to die. I think I said it was going to be Hunter because Hunter is like the more generic kind of character.
Yeah. And then I agree with that. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with what you guys say. Yeah. I think Hunter is like, okay, but.
Yeah. I mean, he's cool. He looks cool, but
he's
fine.
He's a bargain bin Rex.
But then when we lost Tech, I was devastated because there was so much character development happening for Tech last season. And I just fell in love with that cinnamon roll. And then he just destroyed.
Yeah.
Destroyed.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like, honestly, I agree with you all. Like, Hunter, I know Hunter is, like, the main guy, but I'm just
like... Yeah, but he's, like, he's really the most generic, less, like, interesting of them, honestly. And that's why
I feel like the good story stuff is with Crosshair.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hunter is definitely a slice of white bread. He's Wonder Bread. You know, there's... it's fine. You'll eat some toast, but you know,
spice.
But yeah, no spice. He's not that whole grain. You know, he's not that whole grain all. Bread. But yeah, like I said, I mean, we could be talking about this forever. I think one thing that I think will definitely happen at the end of the final episode of the Bad Batch will be the title card will change from the Bad Batch to the Good Batch. That's I'm calling it now.
Let's do it.
God, I hope that doesn't happen. That's
oh my gosh. Please don't.
When I said that out loud, I was like, that did not sound the as good funny batch. Out loud as it did in my brain. But you know, but yeah, we could be talking about this forever. But you know, for now, we just need to now wait for episode 5 so we can see like if anything that we're talking is actually gonna happen. Which
gonna
is
happen? Really, yeah.
It's the most now. It's the most stressful part of the week is waiting for the next episode. But before we do that, thank you so much, Silver, for joining us. Do you have stuff that you got going on? I know you have your own podcast. Obviously, you have your Instagram account. Are there any other things that you know we should be aware of that you're going to be doing, or that the people listening to us need to know?
First of all, thank you all so much for inviting me. This is really fun. I love talking about Star Wars. I love talking about with friends and new friends, such as yourselves, and you know, just having a good time. Yeah, so Star Wars thrifting. I don't know how much I can explain. Either it's Star Wars, you like thrifting. That's what I do. So yeah, I'm on Instagram and Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it these days.
Well, now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on the social Star Wars thrifting. I'm a collector. This is a small room, but I have an entire garage of just all my thrift finds, and I like to go and collect stuff through secondhand stuff. I like upcycle, recycle stuff, and you can find me at flea markets, garage sales, thrift stores, and all that fun stuff. DMs are always open. I love talking about Star Wars. I love meeting new friends, so find me there. I have my own podcast called Into the Garbage Chute with my friend Riley. And Into the Garbage Chute, you think about a garbage chute, it's really messy and chaotic and unorganized in there. So that's my podcast. So we just go and have a good time and talk about Star Wars. So check us out there.
Love it.
But thank you all so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us, and thank you for putting up with like our last minute scheduling shuffling.
No worries.
Do appreciate it, and we will leave links down below so that everyone can just have the easiest time finding your stuff, and so that they can go ahead and follow you, because this really is a lot of fun content, and it's one of the great things of just finding other friends that have such joy and passion, because it's, you know, it's one of those things that I think we need a lot more in fandom. It's less talking about the things that annoy us and more celebrating the things that make us happy. And I think you're definitely like one of those content creators out there that is just infectious joy. So thank you for what you do and for, you know, just being a beacon of happiness in the fandom.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
It was great. It was so much fun. So I think with that, we're signing off.
Yes,
we are Triad of the Force. Thank you so much for listening to us. Like, subscribe, leave a comment. Let us know what you're thinking about the Bad Batch so far. Star Wars in general. Let us know. Silver, mwah, you are amazing. It's so nice to meet you and get to talk to you. We need to meet in real life at some point. But it's great talking Star Wars. And until next time, may the Force be with you.